This is Michelle Savage with XBRL US, and I'd like to welcome everyone to our ongoing podcast series on interactive data. Today we're going to talk about a new SEC viewer that was released on February 15th. The SEC announced the launch of their Financial Explorer viewer, which provides corporate financial information in diagrams and charts using data in XBRL format. With us today, we have a couple of individuals on the investment side who are going to help us understand what XBRL means for investors. We have Sam Jones, who's a CFA with Trillium Asset Management. Sam has over 40 years of experience on both the buy side and the sell side. And we have Tom Larson, also a CFA. Tom is the manager of research at Harding Loebner Management, and he is the chair of the CFA Institute's XBRL Working Group. So I want to thank Sam and Tom for joining us today. And I'm just going to ask a couple of questions for both of you, and we'll just jump right into that. So the first question is, why is the information that's provided through the Financial Explorer different from the kind of information that you might get from a typical financial data aggregator?
Michelle, this is Tom Larson, and I'd like to make a quick comment on that. I think that the Financial Explorer is actually a fantastic tool, especially for the individual investor who may be very intimidated by a standard SEC filing that is full of legalese and lots of words and easily passes the weight test on paper. And the Financial Explorer allows them to get in directly and look at the numbers immediately, very easily, very quickly, and very simply in a manner that I think they can understand. From a professional investor's point of view and an institutional investor's point of view, it's useful in that you can pull in the XBRL download because we're primarily interested in getting the data and putting it into our own models in our own way of looking at it, however that might be. And by clicking on the XBRL download, it comes in directly into our financial models. Why is this important from the financial data aggregator point of view? We all use financial data aggregators, and I can't tell you how many times I have worked with analysts to try to reconcile why the numbers are different. And what I mean by that is that the aggregator, by necessity, because they're bringing in data from many, many companies, must aggregate it into some standardized template. And so something like cost of goods sold or SG&A are two simple examples, will be different from what's actually reported by the reporting company, because it will exclude things like depreciation charge, because the aggregator will have put depreciation into a separate line item. And so you have to then go back to that paper filing and discover where those differences occur. The data at the Financial Explorer and all the other SEC viewers will help you find those discrepancies much easier.
And is that because of the XBRL data and the fact that it's coming directly from the source?
Yes. Absolutely. It's the XBRL data allows us to segregate the data in ways that we want to use it, not in the ways that the company has determined to present it.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Michelle,
Anna,
it's Sam. I'd just like to add that I think the data aggregators are going to probably likely focus on tools for company-specific ratio analysis. They're great at providing the kind of standard measures that professional investors want to look at. However, on the other side, I think Financial Explorer could be very useful for non-ratio analysis. In other words, if you can derive peer-to-peer comparisons, look at business segment data, and other non-standard downloads, such as the management discussion and analysis and footnote searches and that kind of thing, which are really completely outside the domain of most of the data aggregators.
Thank you. And just kind of in general, what does that mean for the kinds of analysis that can be conducted using this kind of information?
I think Sam hit it on the head in that it becomes easier to do peer analysis. Too often we get too caught up in looking at the individual company we're analyzing, and we make all sorts of assumptions in our forecasts about how margins will improve or what working capital should be, etc. And often those assumptions end up being, all sorts of reasonable assumptions end up becoming an unreasonable forecast. But if we have the ability to easily and simply go in and look at what the peer universe looks like, we can say, oh, our margins are exceeding that of any of the peers in the universe. Is that a realistic assumption? It allows us to, you know, really see what the world looks like beyond the individual company that we're looking at.
Thank you. Sam, anything you want to add to that?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Just my next question is, you know, there's a lot of talk today about better corporate governance, about accountability, transparency. How does Experial factor into that kind of discussion?
Well, this is Sam. I'll take that. The management discussion and analysis and other notes must be eventually adapted to XBRL tagging because they're really the essence of what people are looking to read about on a company by company basis in terms of governance and environmental social governance issues. The upside is that investors would hope to see consistency in the types of information that's disclosed, and including things like compensation information, employment or EEOC data, environmental information, and so on, and hopefully in accordance with some of the standards that are being set by the Global Reporting Initiative, which is an outfit not that well known outside of SRI circles, that's socially responsible investing circles in the U.S. But GRI is based in Amsterdam and is very well known in Europe, especially among pension funds and large institutional investors there. So there's a lot of information that could be adapted to XBRL there. The downside is that what we don't want to foster is a check-the-box type of approach, whereby all the MD&As start to look alike, including the notes and comments, because what we're hoping for is to give managements a clear palette on which they can describe in detail what factors have impacted their year-to-year changes and highlight some of the trends that may be in force for a while.
Great. Tom, is there anything you want to add to that? Or?
I mean, I'd like to continue in Sam's comment, first addressing, you know, what his concern is the downside, and I agree with that. But I also think that XBRL could have the potential to limit that downside because, as I said before, when we were talking about peer analysis, suddenly we can compare things against one another. So if managements all start reporting in the same tick-the-box format, we can actually see that. We can actually see the SEC can say, okay, hold on, guys. You're all saying the same thing. You're all complying with the letter of the effort, but you're not complying with the spirit. Right now, it's very difficult to do that because you have to go and look through each individual paper filing and then compare them. And that's a very time-consuming and expensive process. So the great, you know, one of the great values of XBRL is, as I said, getting into the data quickly, but also comparing the data, seeing how companies report, seeing where discrepancies are in reporting. It should help improve financial reporting, in fact, because now we can compare across companies and what they're doing. I'd also add that XBRL improves our ability to get at the data, and I can't emphasize that enough. The real value of the financial statements is not strictly the financial reports, the income statement, balance sheet, and cash flow. It's the ability to look at the MD&A and the information contained in there, and also, equally important, it's the ability to look at the footnotes and see what's in the footnotes. You know, all the bad stuff is always buried in the footnotes, and if we can get at the bad stuff, we can figure out what's going on. It's those lines like other that often contain a lot of interesting information, but if other is page 47 of a filing, it takes you a while to get there. So if I can pull the data out that I need immediately as, you know, within minutes of it being filed, it only improves the efficiency of the markets, and it improves our ability to analyze the data, and it improves the individual investor's ability to just get at that data and see it without relying on the data aggregators and so on that we have the opportunity to use.
I'd like to add that as we get, I think inevitably toward convergence of U.S. GAAP with IFRS reporting standards that are used largely outside North America, I think what we're going to find is that the notes, the tagging of the notes is going to be really essential in terms of helping people understand what changes are being made in the various elements of balance sheets, income statements, and that kind of thing. So I think the XBRL will have a lot of value if we do actually reach a point where there is true global convergence in accounting standards.
I would agree with Sam on that, and that XBRL gives us the ability to compare how two different accounting standards work and to work towards moving towards that convergence. And what's most interesting about all this is these fundamental and valuable changes will happen with XBRL sitting in the background and none of us even being aware that it's really what's supporting our ability to do these jobs. And that's, I think, the most important part, is that it's designed to help us do our analysis. It's not an end in the process. It's a means to improving the process.
And I think, Tom, that kind of your last statement kind of brings us back a little bit to the tools, that these tools that the SEC has created and posted are ways of making the data itself transparent, but making it easier to do analysis. I mean, where do you see the marketplace for analytical tools? Do you think that analysts at this stage are looking for tools? Do you see that there are more tools arriving? Or is this what the SEC has posted, is this just kind of the beginning of the tools that are really going to be in demand, particularly as more XBRL data becomes available from companies that are filing in it?
I think I can speak for Sam on this also. We're investors. We believe in the markets. We believe in the ability, in the incredible creativity of the markets to fulfill needs and come up with new ideas and new products. XBRL is a tool that will allow us to come up with all sorts of things that we've never even dreamt of before. I mean, right now, the SEC has three viewers on the website, and there's a few other pieces of software out there that are beginning to become useful and provide data. But as more companies file and more information becomes available, where it's going to take us, I have no idea. I mean, you know, the data aggregators will be able to spend a lot of their creativity and resources coming up with all sorts of new tools that help us analyze the data. And free software providers and, you know, Yahoo and Motley Fool or whoever the other, you know, free online resources will come up with all sorts of new ways to take this data and use it and let individual investors actually begin to understand what companies are reporting and look at that data, again, instead of being intimidated by the big filings. So where it's going to go, I don't even want to guess, but I would bet in 5 years' time, we won't even recognize what, you know, we're looking at today. It'll be comparing Lotus 1-2-3 against the Excel that exists today. They're just, you know, they're fundamentally the same tool, but they're just completely miles apart in their functionality and usefulness.
So we're kind of at the tip of the iceberg here.
Oh, absolutely.
The opportunities ahead are endless.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I don't even think that that 10% of the iceberg is visible. It's probably less than 1%.
Let me just throw, I think, first, we're assuming that downloading into spreadsheets is going to happen. To me, that's absolutely essential. And note that in the Financial Explorer right now, that capability is not there, but I understand that that's being developed. But I think there's a mega trend here that I think is critical to the kind of quantitative tools that you're talking about. You've seen, because of attrition and cutbacks in Wall Street, and this is really global sell-side and investments, you're seeing a lot of small and mid-cap companies everywhere being orphaned by this diminution of sell-side research. And what that's led to is a scarcity in the number of projections estimated earnings and this kind of thing, to the point now where the statistical significance of a lot of the so-called soft data or the projected data is greatly diminished. So that you're going to find that institutional investors especially and those particularly without deep research departments are going to have to turn more and more to regression analyses and whatever based on hard data that they can download easily through accessed by way of XBRL. Now, the data aggregators are going to play in that pool too. But I think it's the idea that we're going to find more and more resourcefulness in working with and manipulating the hard historic data, and that's where XBRL is going to really shine, in my estimation, down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's if you think about the world today, the reporting company spends resources reporting the information and putting it into generally accepted accounting principles. The aggregator spends resources converting those paper filings into financial databases. The individual investor spends time taking and manually typing in those financial filings into their spreadsheets, however they might use it. That's as the institutional investor. And then we all go and manipulate those, manually manipulate that data and search for other bits and pieces in the filings. What we're essentially saying is we're removing all of that manual collection of data and automating it. So think of all the time we'll have and resources we'll have to actually analyze the data and make better judgments about companies.
Right, which is truly where the investors and the analysts provide value.
I mean, as I say, our investors pay us to identify attractive investment opportunities. They don't pay us to be able to type numbers into spreadsheets.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, we've run out of time, but this has been a really interesting discussion, and I want to thank Sam and Tom very much for your time on this brief interview, and I'm sure we'll be checking in with you at another point in time on another interview, another podcast. So thank you very much. Appreciate your input.